Hey,
this is Hustle, a podcast about digital product design. I'm Rick Messer, your co-host with Anthony Armendariz, owner and owner of Funsize, a digital product design studio in Austin, Texas.
What's up?
What's up, guys?
We have a person from a far-off land, a make-believe land, some would say, called Ben Oregon. Is it Ben or is it Sisters?
I live in Sisters, but, you know, I tell people Ben because Sisters is just a tiny little town.
Yeah, yeah. So this is Andre Jurgensen.
Hey.
He's been with Funsize for a while, since pretty much the beginning. Mm-hmm. But recently, how long ago did you move?
Just over 3 months ago now. Mm-hmm. So we drove out end of March at some point.
So, right. So Anthony, Andre decided he was going to move to Portland, and I don't know what the conversation between you two was like, right? Because he had been physically here as a part of the team, like, since the beginning, and then he decided to move. Like, what did that conversation go like with you guys?
The first time he said he was going to move, or this second time where he actually moved? I think there were maybe, like, three times that I've told myself I wanted to leave Austin.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just comfortable here.
The first time it was kind of shattering because, you know, I thought that was earlier on. That was maybe a year or two ago, and I thought we'd actually lose, you know, a really strong designer. Mm-hmm. This last time when he actually moved, I don't know if I actually believed him.
Because like, you're like, oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. And if you want me to be perfectly honest, there was a part of me that was like thinking, oh, please move to Portland.
Yeah.
Please move to Portland.
Why? Because you wanted a remote office?
Because I thought, you know, Funsize Portland would be pretty cool. I knew nothing about Bend and all that. But, I mean, you want to fill in on what the conversation was like?
Yeah. So, you know, I asked if you and Natalie wanted to go grab a drink. And by that point, I was pretty much set on leaving. I had no idea how that conversation was going to go. I knew you were always, you know, encouraging. But I was expecting you to tell me that because Funsize was growing and we were kind of after this like collaborative feel here in the studio that, you know, I was going to need to find a new job. And that would have really thrown like a wrench in things because Bend is not just somewhere where you can just move to and expect to find work. A lot of people either bring their, you know, take their jobs, or they end up just getting lucky and, you know, locking something in there. So yeah, we met up at the Wheel over on the east side and kind of talked for a while. And by the end of the night, you know, they kind of gave me the green light. And, you know, it was just kind of figuring things out from then.
So maybe let's pause right there. Have you ever been on the Hustle podcast before?
I've not actually.
I thought you had, but now that I think about it.
No, it only took me, 44 episodes?
yeah, basically. Yeah. Well, since you haven't, I mean, it seems weird to introduce you because we all know you so well,
right.
But maybe can you give us, you know, people that are listening that have never heard of you before, like just get a little bit of your background and like what you do here at Funsize and stuff?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, for lack of a better term, I'm a product designer here. Mm-hmm. I like to think of myself as more of just a designer because the term product to me sometimes like it really just kind of, you know, backs you up into this corner. And so I, you know, create things and that's the gist of things. That's, you know, my role here. And, you know, been good friends with you guys for a while now. And, you know, I started with Funsize by being a contractor for almost a year. And then after not wanting to deal with the whole business management side of like freelancing, you know, I decided to take a job.
Yeah, it was Rick that was, I remember like way back when Rick was like, hey, like, I think that guy Andre's on the market. We should talk to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Right after I left Handsome. And that, you know, at that point, at that stage of my career, I was just really burnt out, you know? And so, yeah, I'm sure it took some convincing. It definitely took time. But you know, it all worked out.
The circumstances of like the fact that you had at one point felt burnt out, like, do you think that contributes to your desire to want to go, live somewhere else and have this remote life?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I definitely think that the crazy growth that Austin's been undergoing, has been the major role.
Yeah.
But I think I just got to a point where, you know, I love what I do, but I was just kind of, I wasn't feeling motivated, you know? And a big part of that for me was to be, I've always had this desire to, you know, go to the mountains ever since way back when I went to, you know, went up to Denver.
Oh, that was what did it.
Yeah. That trip that, you know, when I just kind of hopped in my car and just drove, that did it for me. And then I came back and I was just like, man, that's my goal. You know, that's kind of where I have to be. And so up until, you know, sometime last year, I was set on, you know, making it out to Colorado, and somehow Bend came up, and, you know, I'd never been, I've always heard of the place. But you know, when most people think of Oregon, they think of Portland. And that's what people ask me, you know, when I tell them I live out there, they're like, oh, cool. How's Portland? Well, you know, I have to tell them like, well, I'm 3 hours east of that across the mountains.
Yeah. So it's not really a good point of reference for you. What about, can you just tell us a little bit about, what's it like out there? Like, how's the little, you know, just maybe paint a picture for all of our listeners to understand, because I know a little bit about it just because I follow you on mostly Snapchat and Instagram. So I see some beautiful pictures of the lifestyle y'all have out there, but maybe paint a picture for everybody that doesn't know about it.
Yeah, sure. So, Central Oregon, it's an interesting place. It's, they call it the High Desert. So we're sitting at like 30 sisters is like 3,100 and change, feet above sea level. And, you know, we basically sit like right on the edge of the Deschutes National Forest, and the Willamette National Forest. And that's kind of where like the Cascade Range starts. And, you know, that obviously goes up through Washington and then Canada. So yeah, we, you know, it's a mountain town. Bend itself is under 90,000 people. So it's a relatively small
city. And that's the big town that you live
near. And that's the big town, yeah. Where I live, it is, you know, just over 2,000 people. So it is, you know, tiny, 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 which is funny because I live in a tiny house.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah. And so, you know, just the lifestyle up there is, it's similar to Austin in the sense that, you know, people are very much into the outdoors. You know, they just enjoy being outside, whether it's skiing, mountain biking, kayaking, just hanging out by the lake or whatever, you know? And so that's kind of what drew me out there. And so the other cool thing about it actually is that I kind of get best of both worlds. Like I get the beauty of Oregon and everything that that has to offer. And then it also kind of has this, you know, deserty like Western vibe. And so it's, you know, I kind of get to keep that like nostalgic feel that Texas offers.
So I'm looking up in my weather app right now. I want to see. It's 73 degrees in Bend right now. Yeah. I'm guessing it has not. It's not even close to the kind zero of humidity that we're dealing with.
Humidity
in Austin
is pretty
right
much
now.
Non-existent unless it's raining.
That sounds yeah. Awesome.
Man. So what I think is interesting is that most people that are freelancing or remote are probably like working in a home office. You know. You know, I don't know if you guys heard, but Andre lives in a tiny house. Mm-hmm. So what I think is kind of cool about that is he doesn't take work home with him. You know, he leaves his tiny house, and he travels to somewhere else where he works.
So you use that was another thing, a detail, maybe the point. You go to like a co-working space out there and like work there, and then
yeah,
go
home. Yeah, so Bend has this really awesome tech center, is what they call it. And within that tech center, it's you know, comprised of a couple different companies. They have, you know, one design agency there, Five Talent, and then they have a cool coffee shop, and then this actual co-working space. Dope. And so, yeah, I have a desk there. And there are actually a lot of really awesome creatives that work out of there too. Mm-hmm. Chris Hansen, he's one of the founders of Timber. That design agency out of Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And super awesome dude. One of the CodePen guys is out there. And then some other, you know, local freelancers, designers.
When you say out there, you mean Ben?
Or yeah, in the coworking
in the spot. Coworking yeah, space yeah, specifically. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So, yeah, I try and go there. I live about 40 minutes out, so I try and make it down there like 3 times a week or so, mm-hmm. Just to kind of, you know, immerse myself in people. Because we're on, you know, we live on, you know, this 13-acre plot of land that's kind of out in the boonies, which I love, but I think I definitely miss what I miss most about being here in Austin is being around people, you know?
Yeah. It's so crazy too, thinking about where you're at now, because describing that and then juxtaposing that with where you lived right before, you're basically mm-hmm. like downtown Austin pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, you but like, I guess that might be something important to mention about your mm-hmm. kind of like lifestyle, I guess, is the biking, cycling aspect of it. I was wondering if that played a huge role, because you seem to be really into that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. That was the main reason why I wanted to go out there. You know, not only the mountains, obviously, but mountain biking is just like my real passion. And so
that's awesome.
Anyone who knows anything about my mountain biking knows that Bend is like a hot spot for that sort of thing. And so, yeah, coming from Austin, like you said, I was 4 miles from the downtown, and it was, I mean, just a complete culture change.
Yeah.
So
you can go and get food like, you know, in the middle of the night at a restaurant, right?
No. yeah. We definitely learned that lesson the hard way a couple of times.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. We'll be, you know, hungry at, you know, super late at night, and yeah. You just kind of have to make do with what you got at home.
You guys don't have Fiverr or Seamless Web or anything?
Yeah. I might apply to work for Fiverr, you know. I could be the only driver
to get a Yamaha Banshee four-wheeler.
Yeah.
Racing forward.
Yeah.
You know, we had a previous episode with Ben Johnson from Elegant Seagulls, and uh-huh. He was talking about how important...
Super awesome dude.
He was talking about how important we're... that you be inspired about where you live and how that mm-hmm. can impact your work. And I think mm-hmm. everyone's different. You know, some people get inspired to leave a small place and go to New York City. Some people like me get inspired to go to Austin coming from something like New York City.
Right.
Someone like you like really wants to be. I think it's really important. And it's really hard when someone was moving to another place when you think about what you're going to lose, like the camaraderie and the happy hours and stuff like that. But, you know, you have... People need to be inspired, and I think it's important for people to consider these things, because I think a lot of people, if they're not able to think outside the box, would limit themselves to what's available in their geographic area. And if you're able to sort of work with people around the world, and you can, and location isn't important, then you can work with the best people you want wherever they are. And that's maybe interesting. But I have to be honest, like I don't, you know, like I just assume that it's difficult for you. Maybe it's not, but you know, because the way we work here in the office is very collaborative. We mm-hmm. hang out at each other's desks and we critique each other's work, and we're all around each other, and you don't have that. I'm really right. curious, like, how do you mimic that? Like, how do you deal with it? Like, what does your day look like when you're working with other people?
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be honest, like, you can't really mimic it, you know? I can be social, but I can't work with people out there like I did when I was here with you guys. And so, you know, that's just kind of one of those things that I knew I was going to give up. But like you said, being inspired is huge, especially for a designer, because it's really easy for us, I feel like, to, you know, kind of reach that creative block and kind of just, you know, become unmotivated. And that's kind of where I feel like I was starting to get close to. And just, you know, it just so happens that I'm inspired by nature and I love being outside. And so I, you know, traded in the collaboration for inspiration. Mm-hmm.
So would you say that because you were not motivated before and now you're remote, that you are now re-motivated? Sorry.
Yes, though.
Yes.
For sure. You know, I was talking to Johnny just yesterday, and, you know, I was telling him how it's easier for me to, like, sit down and design now and, like, put in all the hours that we have to put in, you know, because I know that everything else around me and all other aspects of my life are, you know, good. Like, mm-hmm. I'm happy with them, mm-hmm. you know? And when I was here, I was always like thinking about, you know, where I could be. And I feel like that was kind of, it was taking its toll on, you know, my creativity.
Yeah. You're just in mm-hmm. an office and wishing you were
right.
Shredding the, do they say shredding the gnar for,
yeah, we'll call it.
Give me some terminology for mountain bike life, man.
Some what mountain do they bike
do?
Lingo.
Yeah, yeah. What do you do?
Well, the hot term up there in Bend is staying loose.
Oh,
And that is completely opposite to mountain biking here in Texas because it's so dry up there. The trails are extremely sandy, and so you're kind of just you're always staying loose, man. Like,
what does that mean?
There's very little traction between you and the ground.
Okay. Got it.
What part of the conversation when Andre left is, you know, I talked to Natalie and we realized, okay, let's look at the reality. Okay. How's this going to play out? Mm-hmm. I talked to Andre and I was like, dude, like, I'm not going to tell you not to go because you're my friend. First and foremost, you got to do what you want to do. You live mm-hmm. once. Mm-hmm. But dude, I got to be honest with you. We don't know how this is going to work out. We've never had a remote employee before. Mm-hmm. In fact, we had always been kind of against it. Mm-hmm. And I think we looked at a few options, and we talk about this often, which I think makes it a very positive relationship. Mm-hmm. What the future looks like? Is it, you know, that it, you know, this doesn't work out for you or for us, and we just need to keep a pulse on that and be open and honest about it, mm-hmm. or is it working out and you just like want to be remote and kind of do your own thing and then work, you know, dial in to Fun Size and remote with us, or would you want to recreate that culture in another town, you know, and build a team around you that can do that, which is an interesting kind of opportunity, you know, for us as a company, because you've been around since, you know, before it was even a formal agency. You helped build our culture. You've worked with all the people, everyone knows who you are. So it's only natural that, you know, if someone's going to make something work like that somewhere else, it would be someone that was a part of that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, there's no right or wrong answer to any of this stuff. Like either this stuff, you know, stuff doesn't work out or it works and you keep it going, or it's working out so well that you dial it up a bit. And so I think that's where the conversations are now. Like, mm-hmm. and there's no answer to it, but those are the kinds of things that Andre and I talk about now.
Do you think it works for, like, basically more companies should try to explore like options like this, or do you think it's sort of like secluded to our specific dynamic?
Well, I don't think that it could just work for anybody.
Right.
That's you a know, good point. It's funny. I've had, you know, quite a few people now reach out to me and kind of ask how it's been going. And so the interest is definitely there, especially now. I mean, it's so easy to work, you know, remote just because all you really need is internet and obviously like a healthy relationship with the people you work with.
Yeah.
Which I think we have, you know, despite me being remote and the collaboration limitations, you know, we're always active and chatting and on the phone and, you know, like still cracking the same jokes that we cracked down here, you know? I think, you know, you kind of have to have the right mentality and know what you're getting yourself into. And so I do think that if there are agencies or designers out there that are curious about it, mm-hmm. that they should definitely try it out. Cause I think that they'll, you know, be probably surprised at how well it actually works, mm-hmm. you know, and there are agencies and companies out there that are 100% remote,
yeah,
you know? And so you know, although I don't know if that is, you know, for an agency like us, that may not be the best thing, you know. Well, I mean, we're not huge, but we have a few people on our team.
There's pressure, you know, from the business perspective. You know, Rick and I talk about all the time, the way that the market's changing. And one of the things that's changing is there's not the demand for the work increases every year. Mm-hmm. But also every year, the budgets go down. So demand is increased, but budgets go down. So if you think about design studios in major city centers like San Francisco, you know, New York, I'm not even say Austin is on that map. It's getting harder and harder to afford top talent to keep up with that game. So I think some people are realizing that, crap, you know, I'm limited to this talent pool in this location. Mm-hmm. I want to hire the best of the best. And I also have to think about budget. So why not hire Jim, who works in Tennessee? Some people do that. And some people like Todd from Four Kitchens here in Austin, to the, you know, up, you know, like 2 weeks ago, they pulled the plug. They discontinued using an office at all. Like 30 people, no office.
Oh, wow.
They cut that overhead out. They have places that they can rent when they need to do a design sprint or when they have a meeting, but or when they need to get together. But they don't have that burden anymore. And not only that, now they can work with anyone in the world that they want to work with.
Yeah.
But he told me that there were some big things they had to learn. Like they tried to do it once and it just didn't work. And also it was even if he didn't want to do it, it was the way the culture and the company was changing. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean.
Yeah, and I mean there are a ton of tools out there nowadays that allow that process to just kind of happen, you know, and like Slack is a big one.
Yeah.
Before Slack, I mean, we were using what, Google Hangout?
Yeah. Right? Oh my God, we were. Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah, that was tough.
Barely remember that.
I can't believe. So, yeah. I'm sorry.
That was a while ago. But you know, there was no aspect of, you know, chatting with your team. It was just like, you chat with your little hangout group. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like, and there was that time actually, if you remember, in between moving from that office up north to coming into this space, where we worked from home for a few weeks, everyone worked remotely.
Something like that.
And I found that extremely challenging.
Yeah.
You know, yep. I hated it. So.
Yeah. I don't like it.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I guess to be remote, you need to be disciplined, you know, you need to just be there, you know, cause you guys don't know what I'm doing all day.
Plan like, particular like activities around times where you know that it's not going to be easy to access like the rest of the team. Like, oh, I got to do some sketches. I could do that around 11 a.m., but that's like kind of when everybody's like mostly around. So I'll do this like at a different time. Like, do you kind of think of the work as blocking it around availability of the team, or do you just pretty much just go normal and?
No. Yeah. I think it's just kind of normal.
Okay. There's only like an hour difference though, right?
2 hours.
Oh, there's two hours. Okay.
Yeah. 2 hours. But it's funny cause I feel like the time difference hasn't really affected much.
Sure.
I'm getting up. I'm a morning person.
Yeah. So that's, I think that's why.
Yeah. I'm up at, you know, 6:30 every day. And so, you know, most people don't start working here until what? 9, 10,
yeah,
maybe. And
some people earlier, but
yeah. Right. Yeah. So, you know, the days that I drive into Bend, I'm usually online a little later. But when I'm working at home, you know, I'm online probably before most people are online here.
Do you have a desk in your house?
Oh, no.
Like when you work in your house, like, are you just like on a bed or something or couch?
I'll throw in a little plug here for the iSkelter lap desks.
Oh, are cool.
Awesome. For anyone who's like needing like a little lap desk for, you know, I don't know, if you just want to hang out on the couch or whatever, it's great. I got the one where it's got like the mouse pad on one side and then the little white board on the other side.
What?
Yeah. And yeah, it's just really nice. It's a well-made product. You know, just a company doing really cool things.
Sweet. I'm looking at it right now. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do you have one that has a little iPhone slot or whatever?
it does have the iPhone slot, yeah.
Oh, and it has holes. So
yeah.
So your laptop can kind of not
get hot. So it doesn't overheat.
So this lap desk thing is kind of how you are, like maybe 2 days a week or something?
It's a combination. Honestly, I use that. And then I just built a breakfast bar.
Sweet.
Which is really awesome. And so I, you know, sometimes move to that.
Is it like ergonomically challenging though in the tiny house? Like do it like working, you know, during the day and
No, really.
You don't feel like tight, you know, when you're doing like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you sit for long enough, yeah. But I mean, that happens kind of anywhere, you know. And I'm always getting up and, you know, doing stuff anyway. So
I just. Yeah. Okay.
How do you? So I assume that a part of what you were saying is that you have having to be disciplined and motivated. That mm-hmm. also means you have to be willing to some extent to work alone, like to think about the problem alone,
mm-hmm.
to execute the work alone, have mm-hmm. confidence in your work.
Yeah.
How do you? But when you need to, like, how do you? How are you able to get like feedback from your teammates at the mm-hmm. times when you need it and in a way that works being remote?
Yeah. Well, I will say that that's probably the most challenging part of working remote. Mm-hmm. I just have to be proactive, you know. I can't expect anyone on the team to come out, you know, to reach out to me and be like, hey, show me what you're doing, you know, because out of sight, out of mind type of deal, right? I'm sure it's very easy to forget, like, oh, we have a designer across the country. Mm-hmm. So I'm the one that has to, you know, always reach out and just, you know, ask for feedback or ask for just like a brainstorm session or whatever I'm needing at the time. And so, that's definitely, you know, the most challenging part because you kind of have to just, it's a combination of just, you know, doing that and then doing it at the right time, you know, so.
I don't know if this is going to be too much of a like derailing subject, but I'm kind of curious. Like when you first told me tiny house, I was just like, "What?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess. So what? Like what? Just can you talk about that for a second? Like why a tiny house? I mean, like Ben for sure for the mountains and whatnot, but why specifically a tiny house?
Well, I'm sure most people are familiar now with the craze. It's catching on like wildfire, right? And we've all seen the shows and all that stuff. And I don't know. I don't know why. It's a combination of things. It's a combination of...
Well, one, it's hard to find property in Bend, right? It's like...
Yeah.
From what you told me, it's like impossible to find a place to live there.
Yeah, for sure. But I will say that I think we were pretty much set on the whole tiny house idea before we decided on Bend anyway. So it's a combination of like staying out of debt as much as possible, right? Mm-hmm. Not owing, you know, $300,000 on a home.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to kind of just, if we wanted to, which we don't plan on it, but if we wanted to, we could, you know, tow it up, hook it up to a truck and
mobility.
Go wherever we want. Yeah.
And do you just sort of like rent a part of a lot from somebody who owns land out there or something?
Yeah. So we rent, we have it on a part of a lot, but you know, we kind of have, access to the whole property.
Cool.
Not that we just walk around all day. So we found this awesome lady who, she's kind of been into the whole movement like for over a decade. And she was just willing to help out, you know,
someone
who was wanting to get into it, you know. And that's probably the most challenging part that anyone who is doing the whole tiny house thing that faces is finding a place to put it. Because technically it's illegal.
Yeah. There's also, if it has wheels, it matters if it has like wheels or not and stuff, right? Like,
yeah. So basically it's built as to RV code. And you're technically not allowed to live in an RV year round. I think you have like 6 months or something. That's kind of what makes it illegal.
That sucks.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because it's a great solution to the whole affordable housing crisis that, you know, a lot of cities are facing. Mm-hmm. And it's making it really hard for people to get into them,
yeah.
especially the people that, you know, would benefit most from getting from living in a tiny house. You yeah. know, like, I am probably not someone who, like, needed to do that. I just wanted to. And there are a lot of people that need... They don't need to do it, but they.
But
they
the lower benefit. The lower personal overhead basically affords you the ability to just freedom to do what you want, like with your money. It's not as tied up on like whatever. Like the normal percentage is like 30% or something of people's income just goes straight to like living, or maybe it's 25 or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy. And then you think about like, you know, houses are great. Big houses are always just like. Oh man, that's awesome, you know? But I think at some point, like, you know, we started kind of measuring success to how big your house was. And
yeah,
if you really think about it, you know, like, let's say you have a 2,000 square foot home. I don't know if there's any science behind this or what. I'm sure everyone's different, but you don't use all 2,000 square feet, you know? And so it's just kind of like the idea of, using everything that you own. And so, yeah, it's great. I love it. I don't feel claustrophobic. I was really nervous at first.
Yeah.
Can I
ask a question? This just popped in my head earlier today. Anyway, do you have a bathroom in there? I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, you do have a bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. We're doing the whole composting toilet thing.
Okay, cool.
So we poop in a really fancy bucket.
And then you use your poop to grow crops
or something? Not that there's much growing in Central Oregon. The grow season there I think is like 3 months.
Did they call those plop crops? Sorry, we could take that out. Anyway, sorry for deterring the conversation. I was just kind of curious because, you know, that's if you want to live in a tiny house in Bend, Oregon, it's just not, you know, up until this point, it hadn't really been an option to do that and also work for like a modern agency that's, you know, really pushing the envelope and working with cool clients and stuff. Like, it's like you got to kind of take what you can get in a certain area. Then this is, you know, this whole thing is actually kind of closely related somewhat to an episode. Actually, I think with this subject spanned a couple of episodes, but just related to the geography, right? Like the quality of work that could come out of any particular town, and so like psychologically what an agency thinks of or a person thinks of when they think, oh, this guy's from Bend, you know, when they see like work that comes in is like really, really good. It's like, oh yeah, this is a designer from New York. So you kind of expect it hold it at a higher level of quality. And then if like somebody comes out of like somewhere you've never heard of, and it's good, it's like better because you're like, whoa, he's doing this and he lives in Bend, you know? I think we talked to Ben Johnson about that. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's kind of interesting that things are going that way.
It's also interesting for me, not because it's dollar signs that are going off, but it's more about like, oh, yeah, like that's a very unique regional area, just like everywhere else is. But like, if you think about it, like, oh, there's certain kind of things you can find in Austin, and Austin companies don't really want to work with people. You know, people want to work with people local.
Right.
And then over there, you got different kinds of companies to work with, you know, and a whole different range of things, active sports and lifestyle brands and stuff like that, that you'd, and so I'm excited about, you know, the connections that you'll make and your ability to connect yourself and maybe hopefully, you know, the crew here with unique opportunities.
Right. Right. And I mean, that's the goal, right? Is I want to be able to work with people up there, you know, especially because Ben really isn't on the map yet, you know. And what I've noticed is that the designers and the people there are really wanting Bend to kind of come up and be known as this like small little tech hub, because there is a lot of talent there. And I mean, there's a company out of the co-working space, you know, who are working on bots and robots and stuff. They, you know, just got featured in, I think, on TechCrunch, which is nuts, you know? And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff going on there. and but people aren't, you know, they just don't think of it. You know, it's kind of like the whole thing of, you know, just needing to be in a tech-centric city like San Francisco to kind of strive. And I couldn't disagree with that more. Yeah. I think it's easier, sure, you know, to like network and stuff.
In some ways, right? In other ways, it's harder because it's like more cutthroat or competitive or something.
Yeah. But I hear it's like really easy to go and get a job there. It may just be a job that lasts like 3 months. But
right. Yeah. You're probably not going to go to the unemployment line. If you're a designer in San Francisco.
Right.
Probably not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So.
Yeah, man. Well, we're kind of rounding around the time that we typically wrap up.
That was fast.
Yeah, I know, right? Is there any projects, like thing that you're doing creatively other than design or anything that you just want to like plug or talk about real quick before we wrap up?
Yeah, actually. So, and you know, Anthony, you and I have been kind of talking about this, and I've been talking about this with some people up there too. But one thing I really want to do is kind of offer like our clients a unique experience, you know, call it a retreat or call it a getaway, you know. But I want to be able to, you know, have people come out to me and kind of, you know, be immersed in this cool area where you're not just going out and getting drinks every night. You know, you're doing like, you know, I don't know, nature stuff, camping and, you know, kayaking and all that,
that
cool stuff.
Awesome.
And then just kind of, you know, use that as inspiration and, you know, work while you're there, but work on a more conceptual level and
get out, just get away from the norm.
Just get away. Yeah. And, you know, we were talking to one of our clients the other night and they expressed interest in that, you know, and that was actually the second client that has said that, you know, they would do something like that. And so I think that there's something cool there, you know, that ties to what we do in the company and also the lifestyle that I appreciate, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's something like kind of like you're trying to figure out how to make that a thing with Anthony and stuff, and just something you're working on like as like a goal that I'm working towards or something.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm trying to figure it out. I think it's just, you know,
waiting
finding
for the
right
opportunity.
Time. Yeah, yeah.
That's cool, actually, because one of the better experiences and more just interesting things that I've ever had with Funsize was when we went to Finland to do a workshop with these guys.
I'm super jealous.
Yeah. Sorry.
That whole trip.
Yeah, man.
It was awesome.
It was amazing. Like they took us all off site in these little like cottages in the woods and we were whiteboarding with them, you know? And like, you know, they had like this cool, like little catered food from like the local, like, people cooking like local stuff and everything. And it was amazing. But we were working, we were just talking about like, what do we want this product to be and dreaming it up. And then like, we would literally just like pull out our computers right there and just like work for like, you know, 3 hours just coming up with cool concepts. And then we present them the concepts and stuff. And dude, you cannot tell me that like being in the surroundings, like didn't influence like the work because it was still like really, really good. At least in my opinion, I thought it was some of the better work that we had.
Oh hell yeah!
That, we had done
that work was insane.
Yeah,
and I mean, it got, you know, it was up at the, I don't know, some talk in or some conference.
Oh, launch.
Launch. And I don't know, you guys generated really good like response from that and everything.
Yeah, I mean, call it what you will, calculate the success of it or not, but either way, it was like, man, it was amazing. So just thinking about like taking a step back to really conceptualize, there's definitely something, there's an ingredient that you can add to that process that you can't get any, you know, out of anything, out of the normal office.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think it's just about kind of like stripping away distractions, you know, and immersing yourself like in the moment.
I think we do client work. We could do like a retreat for new employees.
Yeah.
We could do a company retreat kind of stuff. And really, you know, you're right. Like we have access to like a, you know, really unique area and the logistics of the space on it. Let's find a way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So if Fun Size wants to fund my property out there,
I'm okay. Hey, that's a Fun Size Portland office. Or not Portland. Damn it, I did it.
No.
All right, cool. What about, can you plug your Twitter handle or something real quick?
Oh,
how
yeah,
can people see, like
the jerky
laugh at what you do? Okay.
Laugh at what I do?
Yeah. When you post funny stuff and whatnot.
Yeah, well, the jerky.
Yeah. All right, cool.
That's pretty much across the board.
At the jerky. And, yeah. I still think you should change your Twitter handle to beef jerky, but that's just
me. Beef jerky or beef jerky?
Beef jerky. Oh.
Jerky.
Yeah.
Jergensen.
That's right. That's a internal Fun Size name.
Cool. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate your time. Glad to have you in the office. You're in the office I guess you're leaving tomorrow, right?
Yep. Leave tomorrow. Been here a week.
We should have set that up. We're talking about you being remote and you're actually sitting here with us this whole time. You're here for a client kickoff, right?
I am here.
Yes. Anyway, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks Andre.
Hey, thanks so much for listening today. This is Rick. I'm sure you've all heard of Envision. The product is practically synonymous with screen design. We're stoked that Envision is now a sponsor of Hustle. Something we love about Envision is that they are so highly involved in the community. These guys really care about where design is going, and they support creatives with loads of design resources, UI kits, design process, and interview articles on their blog, which is great for just general inspiration when building products. Aside from being a great prototyping tool, they also have features for project management, creating mood boards and presentations, live collaborative screen sharings, and like a million other useful things. I literally do not have enough time to even list all their features, but they pretty much got what you need. Bottom line, they don't just want you to be a user. They want to empower you with their tools so that you can do your best work. And I think that's pretty cool. Overall takeaway, if you haven't heard about Envision or haven't checked them out in a while, just play around with their latest features. They have a free trial and a really impressive lineup of industry-leading design and project management tools. Their homepage is just envisionapp.com. Go check them out. Hustle is brought to you by Fun Size, a digital product design agency in Austin, Texas that creates delightful, innovative products for mobile, web, and beyond. Visit us on Twitter @FunSize or visit our website at funsize.co.